Welcome to Career Tools. This week, we're going to be giving you a special treat, an entire cast from our normally paid-for series called Effective Relationships. This cast, which will be presented in its entirety over 4 weeks because it's close to 2 hours, actually over 2 hours long, is called I'm a High C and My Boss is a High I. For those of you who aren't familiar with DISC, a behavioral instrument we recommend highly here at Manager Tools. That means I'm a perfectionist, I'm a software developer, and my boss is a energetic, outgoing, friendly, marketing kind of person. I'm sure many of you in technology have had this experience before, and it drove you absolutely crazy. When Danny and I are traveling, we get lots of questions about DISC and about developing relationships. As many of you have heard us say many times, the two most important things in your career are results and relationships. And while we try to help you with results and also relationships, it seems like relationships get short shrift these days. The Effective Relationships series is designed to address that. There are a total of 32 podcasts. We take the four principal behavioral tendencies among DISC, D, I, S, and C, dominant, influence, steadiness, and conscientiousness, and compare them to every other possible combination for boss and subordinate. So there are four castes if you're a high D boss and you have a D direct or an I direct or an S direct or a C direct. As you might imagine, a D boss managing a D direct is pretty simple. And we have that for all four of the types of bosses. And then on the career tools side, we also have a series of 16 casts for each of the four direct styles. So if you're a high D direct, how to develop a relationship with your high D boss or your high I boss or your high S boss or your high C boss. We've chosen one here, the I am a high C direct, but I work for a high I boss, as one that's particularly trenchant simply because it's very hard for a logical, rational, linear, and reserved software developer, engineer, accountant, perfectionist to work for an assertive, outgoing, forceful, people-focused person like an influential high I. When software people have to report to marketing people, it rarely turns out well without some training. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take you through incredible detail about how you can have a great relationship with your boss if this applies to you. Even if you're not a high C, we encourage you to listen all the way through because you'll get some important bits of information throughout the 2 hours. And this will give you a sense of the kind of detail we have in all of the samples in the Effective Relationships cast. In this particular one, the show notes, for those of you who are licensees, run to 22 pages. Not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, but 22. In this cast, at a high level, we're going to cover your boss's tendencies and desires. How high thinks, what she feels, why she feels that way, how he or she tends to behave, and what that means for you as a high C. We're going to talk about work product, what your boss expects from you, and what that means for you. You probably think that more detail and more hard work up front is good. Your high I boss would disagree and say they'd want a rough draft right away so they can give you some guidance. You're probably rolling your eyes right now if you're a high C, but the fact is the boss matters, and that's what a high I boss wants. Take it from a high I. We'll talk about communication in great detail. Overall, talking about your tendencies in communication and your boss's tendency in communication and what that means for you in terms of conflict and how you can avoid that conflict and seek more harmony. Face-to-face communications. You tend to be slow and logical. Your boss tends to be fast and emotional. That drives you crazy, we're sure. We'll give you some suggestions about how to overcome your boss's tendency. We'll talk about meetings, how to behave in meetings with a boss who's different than you. Briefings, how to brief a boss who's a high I. Trust me, it's not a lot of pages in your deck. We'll talk about email. Your tendency is to put bullets and underlining. Your boss doesn't like that. Be careful. You need an executive summary at the top. We'll talk about talking to your boss on the telephone and leaving a voicemail. A long, detailed voicemail is nothing that a high I boss wants. We'll talk about developing reports, delivering reports, and generally reporting to a high boss, which will drive you crazy. And we'll finish with a detailed review of all four of the manager tools, managerial behaviors, as it relates to you and your high boss: one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. And again, how your boss tends to see those things and what that means for you and how you can address it. This is Career Tools and Manager Tools, and so we're specific about actions you can take to be more effective. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you'll consider looking into this normally paid product. You can buy any one of these casts. The example we'll have for the next 4 weeks would only cost you $25. If you got four casts, there'd be a discount. If you chose to get 16 casts, all of the boss or all the directs casts, there'd be another discount. And if you chose to buy all 32, which is a surprising number of our licensees and over 50,000 listeners and members every week look at, we'll be happy to share that with you as well. I hope you enjoy it. Good luck. Come back next week. Thank you.
So along the theme of communications, let's talk about meetings. How does the high boss think about meetings?
Oh, they want to have them. Dude, they totally want to have
them. They love them.
Well, let me put it this way. They don't love meetings. They love getting together and talking. They love batting ideas around. And look, if it, you know, high boss loves being in charge of a room of people where he or she can say what they want to say and get ideas out and make decisions and move quickly and so on. There's nothing better for a high I than everybody getting together. They want to brainstorm. They want to share ideas. They don't want to hear background, right? They don't, we do not need a meeting to go over all the data. That's too much detail. They'll share their thoughts. They want decisions. They don't want data. They might be willing to hear analysis, but they'd much more likely just get right to the recommendations. They're going to be happy to share their thoughts because their thoughts are the most important ones in the room as a high I and a boss together. Yeah.
Are they likely to do them in an ad hoc fashion, or are you going to find their calendar full of meetings? How do they schedule them?
First of all, there's going to be a lot of meetings because they'll be like, yeah, sure, let's have a meeting. No problem. They'll just put meetings on their calendar all the time. They'll miss meetings lots of times.
The whole squirrel thing going
with
on
the
there,
team.
Right?
Yeah, if they have a choice, if a meeting runs long, they'll be like, well, I'll just get to the next meeting when I get done, right? And particularly if there's a chance they can meet with more senior people or other people in the organization, whereas with the team, maybe that one gets pushed back a little bit. So there'll be a lot of them, but they'll also have ad hoc meetings as well. And they could easily have a meeting at 2 and have two people come into their office at 10 in the morning and go, hey, we want to talk about the meeting. And they have a 15-minute conversation and somebody says, I don't think we really need to have the meeting. The high I goes, okay, fine. Tell everybody. And then an hour later, send back a note. No. Let's get everybody together. We want to share with everybody what we did and so on. That's kind of, and you're like, you feel like you're whipsawed back and forth with a high I. Because in their mind, meetings are a chance for FaceTime. They'll cause the agenda to get off track too, because they're late. They'll tell stories when they come in. Hey, look, before we started, let me give you an update on some stuff. And they'll also take it on tangents. And even if I'd be surprised if high eyes do agendas real well. I mean, if you have a high eye boss who's doing an agenda, it's probably because he knows Manager Tools Effective Meetings Protocol and it's not comfortable for him or her, but he'll do it. Look, in the mind of a high eye, the goal of a meeting is for everybody to get together and reconnect and make sure everybody's on the same page. And the task at hand, what you actually have to do, is sort of a poor second place. It'll get done, probably, but it'll be much more expansive, much more loose, much more unstructured, much more frustrating for the high C's of the world and probably the high D's as well in terms of let's move, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Okay, well, that's interesting. High bosses look at meetings a little differently than do high C's. So what is it?
Yeah, differently.
What does it mean?
More like, oh, please shoot me in the face. I can't stand my high boss. He can't run a meeting to save his life. It's like literally being inside his brain in a gigantic, messy brainstorm session with cool beanbag chairs and funky colors.
Yeah, why bother wasting paper and printing agenda? Yeah. He never follows it.
Yeah, let's just spark off of one another. Let's be awesome together. Let's go surfing while we're having the meeting because it's cool. Because I hear surfing is really awesome. Yeah, Look, folks, you're going to find if you're a high C that your meetings with your boss, if he's a high I, are going to be frustrating for you. They're going to be long if he shows up. They're going to be relaxed. That's a nice way of saying no agenda. And they're not going to be related to the agenda, even if there is an agenda. There'll be plenty of time for your peers to tell stories about a customer which don't have anything to do with the topic on the agenda. And your boss will say, no, go ahead, share the story. Stories are good. Stories are how we learn. Many people who are listening to this don't remember about 25 years ago, there was a whole big meme in corporate America about storytelling, about how, and people went to storytelling classes. Really? I mean, I'm high I, but really storytelling classes? No, I'm sorry. At some point, you know, you just say, okay, I suppose somebody made some money, but really not so much. I heard recently, Mike, that there is a Harry Potter training for corporate people, you know, how to be magical at work. I mean, what is that? What is
real? Are you serious? Are you pulling my leg?
Yeah, no, quite serious. Hey, in order to really make a difference in your workplace, you've got to engage the magical ability of people, right? This whole storytelling thing is the same kind of thing. But think of it this way. There's an opportunity, folks, if you're a high C, for you to shine. You know your boss's weakness. Make up for them. Be on time. Help him stick to the agenda. Help him make sure that each meeting ends with a list of responsibilities and deadlines. That's the thing high eyes miss. They say, boy, this is a great meeting. We shared a lot of things. And then they don't have to do anything. They don't want deliverables. They want to be Teflon Man. Oh, high eyes hate deliverables. Okay? So if your boss's boss is in the meeting and he's not a high eye, lucky you. You can make your boss look good in front of his boss by running the meeting with a little bit of an agenda, a little bit of let's move on to the next thing. We're running out of time. What do we want to do here? And you can do it lightly. You could say, this is great. And we have a limited amount of time, guys. Let's just wrap it up if we can. Great. Thank you. Okay. Key points, Bob. You're going to do X, right? Right. And Sarah, you're going to do Y, right? Right. Okay, good. Moving on. Right. That's how you do it. You don't scold your boss. You don't sit there and pout because your boss doesn't run a meeting the way you think it should be run. You help your boss be effective. That's what makes bosses like you.
Yeah, there you go. Make your boss look good. Nobody ever did wrong by doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's continue on with our theme about communications and talk specifically about briefings. So how does a high I think about briefings?
Yeah, look, she likes excitement. She wants to be persuaded. Okay, this is a terrible mistake that people make. I'll jump right to sort of a bottom line about briefings. And I'm just going to say, let's assume the briefing involves a PowerPoint deck. I'm amazed at how many people who do PowerPoints don't follow some of the right ways to do them in terms of, you know, don't put a bland title on the top of a page like data or raw numbers. And then there's just a whole bunch of numbers. I mean, it's not what you do. You put a title that helps people see what you want them to do with the data, right? So if you say, we need to go over the data, the high eye is going to roll her eyes. But if you were to say, I want to show you how our decision has to be X based on what we've done. Okay, that's interesting, right? So she doesn't want raw data. She doesn't want analysis. She wants recommendations. She wants to be persuaded. She wants you to have a point of view. She wants stories. She doesn't want all that detailed background. You know, she's glad you have it, right? But it would be okay to have a dramatic presentation. You could even get away probably with a picture or two on a slide, even though that kind of creeps me out because the chances of most people getting a picture right on a slide is pretty small. And whatever you do, heaven forbid, you put a spreadsheet on a PowerPoint slide. Those are boring. They're impossible to read. And I literally think that there is a genetic marker in all 7 billion human beings on the planet that if you have a remote control in your hand and you're standing up and in a business setting, you project on a presentation you're doing a slide of an Excel spreadsheet, it is genetically coded that you have to say, I know you can't read any of this, which of course eliminates completely the need to project it if they can't read it.
Right. Yeah, I know you can't read this, but I cared so little about you that I decided to include it anyways, just to make you squint and get a headache.
Yeah, yeah. And look, it would be one thing. Look, if your ID or any of the profiles, really, and you put together a presentation for your high-eye boss, and you think, well, there's some other people in the room that I need to persuade, and they would like to see the raw data, and you have several pages of raw data, your high-eye boss is going to rush you through it anyway. Okay? You could put together a separate deck of, hey, here, the raw data is in this separate deck if you want to be looking at it, and print it big enough so people can read it. Be careful. Additionally, your high-eye boss wants to know who's involved in the things you're talking about. Yeah, certainly there are times when you're talking about code, you're talking about a rollout of a technical system or so on, that you're going to be in the weeds and metrics and technical specs and so on. But your high-eye bosses always want to know who's involved, who started the project, who have you talked to already, who do you need to talk to, who will benefit from your project, who's the person over there who we're talking to, what relationship do we have with him or her, okay? Is the sponsor okay with that? Have you talked to them? What did they say exactly? I'll tell you the truth, Mike, you know this. I find myself saying that a lot when I ask somebody who I get the sense is down in the weeds and not really focus on the bigger picture of a project. And they say, yeah, they're okay with that. So, well, what specifically did they say? And they said, yeah, I think this is fine. Well, dude, that's not they're okay with it. That is, they don't want to make a decision right now. And they're waiting until we make the big presentation to pounce. You need to go back to this person and get their full approval and get their full buy-in and get their full support. And I think that a lot of times, high-eye bosses want to know more of those kinds of details. What was said? What was the conversation about? An example would be a high C saying, why is this important? I got the sense that they were on board with it. Yeah, it's not always true. Yeah. The high-eye feels they have a special place in reading people and understanding people, and they're trying to use their strength, relationships with other people, to reduce risk or increase results. And if she wants to help, it's going to be by providing you people that you can talk to so that you can achieve success. And look, for those of you who are technical, that doesn't mean the high eye is dumb. I'm high eye. I'm not dumb. I know enough about technology to be dangerous probably. But I also know that technology never rules. It's always people. And you may argue, no, not in my neck of the woods, but in your organization, trust me, people rule.
All right. So now we know all about bosses' exciting briefings and all that. So what does it mean for high C? What are some of your suggestions for me? Huh.
Danger, Will Robinson. Folks, you're going to be tempted to give way more data than your high-eye boss wants to hear. Don't do it. You're going to want to show all your data and how you got it and explain the rationale. Don't do it. You're going to want to show details to prove your command of the material. Don't do it. You're going to want to prove you're right by showing everything you know. Don't do it. The key to a high C direct giving a briefing to a high I boss is recognizing that they trust you enough that they don't need to see your work to believe it. I'll tell you what. High eyes who really do well in presentations, yeah, they're a little flashy. But the ones that are great is when they get asked a question by a senior person, they have the data at their fingertips. They totally know it. They just know they don't need to tell everybody I know everything because it's going to take a while to prove to you that I actually know everything. The thing to do with a high eye boss is give her the high level. But when you get asked, well, wait a minute, where'd you get that? Well, actually, here's my data. And then give them a gigantic pile and go, see, I win. And you're smart enough to have done the work, known the data, analyzed the data, formulated a recommendation based on your analysis of the data. Good. Logic, facts, rational, all aligned with the strategy and the mission and the values and everything else. Great. Good. And all behind the scenes. And that way, if somebody asks a question, you bury them with the significance of the amount of work you did. But you also know telling them everything about all the work you did is not going to be persuasive. Briefings are about persuasion. You got to get through to your head.
Yeah.
If you insist on showing your high eye boss stuff he didn't want to see and he doesn't think he has time for, even if you think he should have time for it, you're putting your preference for details above getting what you want from your boss, which means if you want to get what you want from your boss, you got to communicate in a way that makes sense to the boss. Look, don't just say what you did. Talk about who's going to be involved or who's going to be affected or whose voices you heard from. To your high eye boss, the details are trivial. What's important to your high eye boss is the outcome and who's going to be involved. Look, the fact is, you can be flashy and dynamic in your presentation. I promise you, but if you think you're being flashy and dynamic, your boss is going to think you're a little amped up, but it's nothing special. I tell people all the time at conference when we do interviewing training, I say, you could triple your energy level and you'd be no, if you're being interviewed, and be nowhere near the upper limit of when I start to worry about somebody's energy level, because most people are just bumps on a freaking log. So you high C's, think of yourself being flashy and dynamic. Trust me, it won't even register to the average person. I don't say that as a negative to you. We just know you're not naturally flashy and dynamic. If you think flashy and dynamic are good, trust me when I say not always good. There are high eyes who are flashy and dynamic and so thin on the details they can be poked full of 1,000 holes and never get anything approved. And you probably love it when it happens. Okay. Your boss is going to be looking for more energy than you're naturally used to delivering. How can you do that? Speak more quickly. Move around more than you usually would. Don't just have bullets. Please listen to our podcast about how to make a presentation on PowerPoint. Okay. The size of the bullets, how many bullets per page. No spreadsheets copied into a PowerPoint. And let's go even further. Don't think you're impressing us with your technical skills by embedding a live spreadsheet. So just in case somebody makes an update during the week, you get a chance to have your spreadsheet updated live in the presentation, because all that does is slow things down, because you're probably presenting from a laptop. And we can't read your spreadsheet anyway. I'm amazed at the number of presentations I've sat in with 25 pages of spreadsheets and the last page has a recommendation. And every executive in the room, who's probably a DRI, flips to the back page and says, oh, that's how much it's going to be? I have three questions. Here are the questions. Boom, boom, boom. They get their questions and answers. Okay, I'm good. And the high C up there is going, why don't I get to give my presentation? And the high D's and I's in the room are going, because we don't want you to give a presentation. We want to make a decision. We don't care about your presentation. We care about making a good decision.
Yeah, I remember one time I was Rob Geller. I was working for Rob, and I need some money. It may have been actually money to hire you to come work for my organization.
Yeah, I still have the email when you hired me. Yeah,
and I put this together, this long presentation of why it was important, because spending time on leadership and management was very different for a technical organization.
Not normal.
You know, if I wanted $100,000 for technical training, that'd have been easy, but.
Yeah, I think the first year you spent more – no, it's the second year you spent more on leadership and management training for your organization than you did on all the other training combined.
Oh, by far. By far.
And produced way better results. Yeah. And everybody was like, how is he doing that?
Best money ever spent. But I remember, like, you know, I knew it was going to be a hard sale, so I put together this long presentation for Rob to convince him of it. And I got maybe, I don't know, maybe 10% through it, and he said yes. Right, because I did some things right. I had, you know, I had bottom line up front. I had a bunch of good stuff there.
Yeah.
But I only got like 20% through it. And he said yes. And I kept going. And I kept going. And
oh, yeah.
And like 3 minutes into it, he didn't let me go too far. Rob didn't have that kind of patience. Let me go like 3 minutes. He goes, Mike, I already said yes. The only thing that can happen now is you change my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. All you can do now, once I've said yes, is introduce potential negatives, right?
That's right. I
can't say yes stronger and louder, right? I'm not going to give you more budget than you're asking for.
Yeah, but in my mind, I had all this logic. I wanted him to understand my logic, right? You talked about that earlier. Yeah. So I learned a very valuable lesson that day.
I think there's a lesson in there as well about process versus results. I think there are a lot of high seeds in the world that believe processes produce results. And we won't argue with you that processes don't produce results. People do. But processes significantly reduce the variability and the chance for failure in people's behavior. We love processes at Manager Tools. We highly recommend them.
You're right. But the lesson for high seeds like myself, the lesson is that processes don't trump results. I already got the result and I was focused on the process.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The way I describe it is if you're required to build a product and the product comes off the line and it is perfect in every regard, every single measurement, every single variance is zero, it's perfect. And two of the machines are out of whack. You're not going to disassemble that. You may, in fact, look at those two machines that seem to be out of whack, but you're not going to say the measurements on this output must be wrong because the process appears to be messed up. If, in fact, the output is, in fact, correct, you don't redo it. You don't undo it. You don't say the result is perfect, but I insist on prosecuting the process. You don't do that, right? Otherwise, you get in situations where you spend a lot of time, and since processes inevitably have variability, you end up introducing more variability when, in fact, what you want is less, all things being equal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look, a presentation, if you're going to high I to your presentation, you high Cs, it's going to end up being longer than if you presented to somebody who's different than the high I. They're going to ask more questions. They're going to give their opinion. They're going to tell a story. Be ready for that. Okay. If you have 10 slides and you're briefing your boss, and by the way, the manager tool's rule is one slide for every 10 minutes. And by the way, Mike, we can stop the cast now because all of the high C's who are listening to this cast just had an aneurysm and died.
Exactly. They're dead.
Yeah. One slide for 10 minutes, guys. Now you may say, no, I need 10 slides for 1 minute. Okay, fine. I just want you to know this is what us executives are thinking when you brief us that way. This is what we're thinking, quote, this person is an idiot, unquote. Okay, when I go to France, I don't speak English. And then when I'm not understood, I don't speak English louder and faster with an angry look on my face to the Frenchman who doesn't speak English. Okay, when I'm talking to an executive, I speak in a language that makes sense to them. And that means faster. It means bottom line up front. It means dynamic, maybe. And don't worry, you can't be too dynamic. So don't worry about that risk.
Let's continue with our theme around communications and talk about, well, something that's just near and dear to everyone's heart listening today, which is email.
Yay.
How does a high I boss think about and act on email?
Yeah. Look, a high I's love email because it gives them a way to talk to thousands of people a day by sending out jokes and so on. But when we compare email to other forms of communication, what they would say is, I don't mind it. I certainly don't mind it. I'd much rather have it face-to-face, though. Email to a high I at some level is too impersonal. That's why high I's invented emoticons, right? And why the high C, in part why the high C's want to kill them. If they have to talk by email, they want to interject their personality. They do not want to have themselves, their joie de vivre, sucked out of life. And so they want to make that email fun. Their emails often are long, and they manage to use 25 words for every 5 words you would use if you're a high D or a high C. Okay, a high I, even your boss, folks, is going to send jokes, other interesting or amusing information by email. They are the leaders in exclamation points per word in email. I'm certain. I'm sure you could find. Somewhere, I think high I's and 12-year-olds are really, really good. And I say that fully proudly as a high I, although hopefully not as a 12-year-old. They're the leaders in exclamation points per word, and proudly so. Now, your boss may be smart enough as a high I to not send you all of his jokes or her jokes, but they think you're missing out anyway. They know that they probably shouldn't as a boss, but they might. And you know you're friended with your boss if you're the only one of his or her directs that gets his jokes and none of the other directs do. High I bosses may start their emails to you with your name. They like your name. They like their name. But they're also just as likely to start with a shortened name or a nickname. And also not to put dear or just your name, but to put yo or hey or hi, Bob. If they sign the email, again, it might not be their name, or it might be a whole long list of Twitter notes and IM messages and where their cube is and a little funny sign-off line and a little emoticon and so on. Frankly, when it comes to scroll bars with high I's, they're likely to get distracted. If you send them a long email, they're happy that you send them a long email, but they're probably not going to read all of it. Okay. They're just, if it's long enough to need a scroll bar, they're likely not to get to the end of it. It would be better for you to come by and brief them directly so you can be sure they heard and they got what you needed. And frankly, you know, if you're sending something to high I, it better be short. That's the short answer. No pun intended. And look, a high I is not going to want to open your attachments. They will sometimes, but they don't want to. Attachments take time, and they probably lost interest by the time they get to the bottom of the email anyway. So you got to be careful. You don't necessarily need, I mean, if you're somebody who likes to send out all the data that goes with an email, just recognize that high I's are somebody you don't want to read them. And so they're not going to all the time. So you got to ask yourself, if I really want it read, if it's got to be read, if I believe it has to be read, maybe I need to copy and paste it into the body of the mail. Of course, that makes for long emails. Yeah, high I's see email as an opportunity to reach a lot of people. They don't follow all of the corporate, dry, professional standards. And so they like what email does, but they don't like the fact that email often takes a lot of time and a lot of it's very boring.
Okay, that's high. The high I boss and email. What does it mean for me as the high C direct?
Well, the first thing is don't hide behind your email. Don't hide behind your keyboard. High C's do this all the time.
You mean I'm gonna actually talk to the guy? Really, really?
Well, no, you don't have to. But if you want to be effective, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we do a thing at the conferences where we Danny or I pretend to be a person in our cube, and we play all four of the roles, and we're typing email at our cube, and somebody comes into our cubicle area. If we're a high D, we keep typing and we say, what? Okay. If we're a high I, we're typing, we're talking on the phone at the same time, and we wave the other person in. We're typing with one hand and we're waving with the other hand. We say, come on in, have a seat. Hey, you want a latte? Hold on, I'm on the phone with a buddy of mine. I'm doing an email, sending out a great joke email. Hey, by the way, you want a latte? Good, go get me one too. That's what the high I does. He's doing five things at once. The high S turns around, stop immediately, turns around and says, please sit, have a cookie. How are you? You look peaked today. Can I sing you a song? Right. And the high C continues to type, does not acknowledge the person in their cube, and continues to type all the while in their head saying, are they still there? Are they still there? Are they still there? And if you type long enough, the high C's have learned people just walk away.
There you go.
Right?
It works every time.
It works every time. It does. Of course, people walk away going,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not happy, but yeah, they do walk
not
away.
Not happy,
though,
but they do go away. The high C is like golden. I don't care if you go away unhappy. Just go away.
Exactly. There you go.
But look, you got a high I boss. She's so different from you guys. She is. She'd rather talk to you. We know you'd rather send an email. We're not saying you're wrong. Okay. We're going to tell her, the high I, send an email to your high C direct. That's what he wants. Okay. Consider delivering whatever it is you want to report or what you need or what you need to share or the idea you have. Consider doing so verbally before you send an email. You can always follow up with an email that shows the details that your high I boss probably didn't listen to or wouldn't have listened to if you shared them anyway. Now, that said, if you're going to send an email to a high I boss, a couple of suggestions. Put her name at the top of the email. She likes the sound of her own name. She really does. Put your name at the bottom. She likes to think about you as a person. It's not just about the work and the facts to your high I boss. If you have questions, they come first. I promise you, every single time she's reading an email, she's saying, squirrel, I have other things to do. People in my office, lattes to make, right? If you ask questions too late in the mail, he's not going to get to them. Don't make your email longer than three paragraphs. He doesn't have time. He's going to get distracted. He's going to walk away. I know I've told this story before, but the 12th paragraph email and the 11th paragraph and the fourth of five sentences in the 11th paragraph, there is one question mark in the email. Guys, I actually get emails from people and I open the email and do command F and look for the question marks. And if there are none, I ignore the email, generally speaking. And by the way, if you say, I'd like to know more about this particular area. Yeah, well, I'd like a Ferrari, but I don't have one. No more than three sentences per paragraph. If it takes more than three sentences per paragraph, it's not for email. You need to have a conversation, a discussion. Your high boss is only going to read the first sentence in each paragraph. You have to assume that. That's communication 101, most important idea first, topic sentence in every paragraph. And by the way, he digs emoticons, smiley faces, winky faces, surprised faces. Keeping in mind, of course, he is your boss and you don't want to be a dork. We have a no dorks rule, so be careful.
Okay, so how about communications around telephone and voicemail for the high eye boss?
Yeah, so your high eye boss, guys, when he's on the phone, is almost always thinking to himself, when can I get off the phone? Unless they're telling a story, unless they're talking about their weekend, unless they're regaling you with something that happened that was really, really cool. It's interesting, though. I mean, some of you, you high Ds probably, are like, oh, well, they're just like me in that regard. No, they're not. They're not doing it for the same reason as you. It's not about not wanting to speak to you. His problem is that his other phone is probably ringing. And he's also texting, and he's also probably reading email at the same time. High eyes love to be on the phone because it allows them to connect with people who are not nearby, and they want to stay connected to people. A high eye will totally have a long conversation with you on the phone, especially when they're traveling, because what else can you do when you're stuck in an airport for hours at a time other than make new friends and connect with old ones? It's funny. Somebody told me I was in O'Hare, and somebody said, all these geeks with the headsets in their ears. I said, well, you know, they're walking through the airport and they're talking on their wireless headset on their iPhone or their smartphone or whatever. And I say, no, not exactly right. They're geeks, some of them, who don't care how they look and they're just being efficient. And by the way, guys, it does look dorky. And then it's also the salespeople of the world, the high eyes, who are like, I don't want to be bored just walking through the airport. I need to be doing something. And what's better to do than to connect with friends? And so, you know, pretty soon they're going to have a wireless headset. They may already have one that you can literally push a button on the side and say, call Mike or call Wendy or call Danny. And it will, you know, I think actually you may be able to do that now, but not with a wireless headset. I don't think. I don't know. But high eyes would be like, that would be cool. I'd love that.
Right. And by the way, there's better things to do with your time walking through an airport than talking to your friends. Like, for example, I don't know, listening to a podcast, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe. <Yeah. laughs>
I wouldn't know. I've never done it.
You should try it every once in a while. I hear it's a pretty good thing.
Yeah. Maybe I will someday. Yeah, but the problem is the people who are listening to this right now, Mike, are thinking, no, I don't want Mark listening to podcasts. I want him writing podcasts.
There you go.
Yeah, put him in a closet. Look, a high eye is going to be incredibly enthusiastic when they're on the phone with you. They're going to be incredibly enthusiastic about receiving your phone call. You'd think that they haven't spoken to anybody all day. It's like, hey, Mike, how's it going, dude? What's going on? Good to hear from you, right? And dude, they'll totally want to share their whole day with you before they get anywhere near the subject at hand. Hey, Mike, how's it going? I know you called. I got to tell you something real quick about something that happened on the plane. I was on the plane, right? I'm sitting next to this guy. Don't know who he is. Just chatting, right?
Stop.
Yeah. As opposed to, if in fact this person was a potential customer, you know, the high D would say, I met a customer on the plane. And the high C will say, I'll send you the notes of my meeting with a future customer on the plane. And the high S would say, I met the most wonderful person on the plane, and what do you know? It was a customer. I've got to tell you the story. Would you mind if I told you?
No, yes, I would mind. Now, we're not suggesting that would be a great response. If you're a high D and it's your boss you're talking to, don't say, yeah, I would mind. I really don't want you.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't want it. Yeah, just send me a note. Yeah.
All right. So my high I boss has some different ideas about the use of the telephone and voicemail. So.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
You think? Really?
Yeah. It's different than me, that's for sure.
The dude has two phones, his work phone and his super special secret bat phone with a special case, by the way, with rhinestones.
Exactly. But he didn't share that number with me because he doesn't like me. But that's a
different. Well, if you ask for it, he'll give it to you. But there are some rules.
Okay. Well, share those rules. I want to be on that special list.
Okay. So the rules, dude, if I give you that phone number, You got to totally chill when you're talking to me, okay? There's some rules, and this line is it's a party line. It's a party line between you and me, and you know, don't be bumming me out. Don't be bringing me down, okay? If it's about only work, call me on my work phone. But if you got a party, if you got a concert, if you got a rave, right? If you got a mosh pit, I want to know. Text me, baby. Let me know. I want to know. Keep me in the know.
All right.
Be good.
I'm not sure I can do that. But
Rhinestones. Rhinestones, my friends.
You high eyes. Like just too much.
Sparkly
too much.
Is better. I can't even do it without just losing it. Okay. Look, when you're talking on the phone or you're leaving a voicemail for your boss, we recommend you spend some time sharing your news and being pleasant and asking how your boss is doing before you actually get to what you want to talk about. That connection time, if Mike was a high I boss and I'm a high C, not that this role play will ever actually happen, not just that he's my boss because we're partners, but more importantly that I could be a high C and he could be a high I, I would call him up and say, hey, dude, how's it going? And at this point, Mike would actually respond. Mike, how might you respond if you're a high I?
Oh, is it as if I'm a high I?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, hey, dude, how's it going?
Awesome, dude. How about you?
Good. Awesome. Good day. Really, really good.
Oh, dude, you got to tell me before you go on, I got to tell you about this party I went to. My God, you wouldn't believe the people that were there. You remember Joe from Winston Churchill days? Remember that
guy?
I do. The guy parties like an animal. The dude has so many stories. He went golfing. He went golfing with this other guy. Like, I got to go. I got stuff to do. But man, it's great catching up with you, man.
Yeah, real quick before you go, though, we're on track on the project. We made it a little more budget, but it won't be until Q4, so we're okay. I just wanted you to know.
Awesome. Good. Oh, perfect. Perfect. All right, man. We'll see you.
No worries. I'll send you an email.
All right, man. Later.
That was really hard for me to play high C and for you to play high I, but you nailed the high I. That was good. Yeah. Joe and Winston Churchill. Nice. Good call.
Hold on. I got to go take a bath. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You got to get covered. Yeah. Yeah. I have to take off the cloak. Take off the funeral cloak I had on. It would be pretending to be IC. Yeah. So if you don't connect, if I call Mike and he's a high I and I say, I need to give you a quick update on X, he's going to be like, okay, is it bad? And the high C goes, well, why would it be bad? Well, because there's no energy, no passion, no enthusiasm in your voice, and it sounds pretty flat and monotone. It must be trouble. It must be trouble right here in River City. So a brief bit of connection, okay? If you go right to the topic at hand, the high I is going to feel rushed. And then once you make the connection, you've got to be quick, okay? If you go through all that detail you want to share, the high I is going to get distracted. Squirrel. Their phone is beeping constantly with other calls and text messages. It's easy for high eyes to be distracted. They like being distracted. Shiny. Squirrel. Okay. Even if your points are structured and your topic is vital, your high eye boss is not going to listen to you take more than a couple of minutes to explain everything. You going longer than a couple of minutes, even in the service of sharing something valuable, status of any kind is going to be ineffective with a high I boss. Now look, you need to give an executive summary and then expect them to ask questions. But don't plan on giving 24 paragraphs. Let them interrupt. Expect to be interrupted. Use an executive summary mentality. Start the call after you say, hey, how's it going, boss? Good? Good. Great. Awesome. Had a great weekend. Thanks. Three key points I got to share with you. Okay, I'm cool. Three key points. All right, I'm listening. Three, I can handle three. If you say seven, I get a really bad feeling in my stomach, like, ooh, uncomfortable. And acid, please, right? Or you might say, I won't keep you, but you have to know two things. Or, dude, I'll send everything else in the mail, but for now, the one thing you need to know is X. Okay. If you do it this way on the phone, or in voicemail, you'll get your boss's undivided attention for the entire time of your executive summary.
Yeah, it'll be golden.
Mike, take the time now. Tell the story of your direct and the daily voicemails. You've got to share that story. It's just a it's a world class high C story. And his response, your feedback to him and his response is just awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So the folks just got to recall, I'm a high C, but I'm also high D. So I'm a high D, high C, and in work I tend to revert a lot to my high D. So Dave was working for me as an architect of a kind of enterprise architect, and he leaves me an update voicemail every single day. Very detailed, very high C, a 20-minute voicemail. I kid you not, with every detail.
Seriously, I mean, it just makes me uncomfortable hearing that 20-minute voicemail.
Well, try listening to one.
It's like saying communism, fascism, socialism. I mean, you're not comfortable with that. Right?
All the bad things in the world, right? Yeah. In one little bubble there. Yeah. So yeah, not good. And so, Elliot, this was, you know, this was 15 years ago or so. This is, and I wasn't quite where I am today. And today I would I'd wait one or two times and I'd get feedback immediately. But at this point in my career, I did not. I mean, that's 20 years ago, actually. And so I put up with it for a month. And folks, if you think I listen to the 20-minute voicemails, you're crazy. I listened to about 2 minutes. My head exploded.
I love that part of this story.
And the particles of my brain landed on the receiver and hung up the phone. That's kind of what it was like. But it's not fair to him. I'm not, you know, he's leaving me the details. I'm not listening to him. So anyways, long story short, I finally, a month later, I said, Dave, we've got to talk. Like, when you leave me these 20-minute voicemails, I never listen to them. So do me a favor.
Did you get the sense that he got his feelings hurt a little bit there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think it's fair. And I would also argue this is not related to DISC. I would also argue that as a professional, you have an obligation to deliver it. And even though you know it's going to hurt his feelings a little bit, because the guy intends to do well. Nobody leaves a 20-minute voicemail for their boss without believing the boss is listening and it's valuable and it's worthwhile.
That's why I waited a month.
Yeah.
You're right. But it took me a month to do my job, frankly.
Yeah. Well, but as an aside, folks, you have to be willing to pinch people to hurt their feelings a little bit. And I know hurting their feelings is a bad phrase. Let's say pinch them a little bit to avoid crunching them later on. Because if Mike had never said anything to the guy, to Dave, and it had gone on 6 months and Mike had let it fester in him and then said, I don't like Dave, and told him Dave's coworkers, I wish that guy would shut the hell up. Now, suddenly, that's a crunch. That's a big problem. Or you ding him at the end of the year in a way and he's not ready for promotion. When in fact, if you'd have just said to him, I'm going to hurt your feelings a little bit, but I believe it'll be more effective for us and for you. Right. It's, and then this is classic when we have different profiles. You're a D, right? And he's a C, and he's giving you all this detail and driving you nuts.
That's right. Well, and the fact of the matter is, if you wait 6 months or you wait a year and you haven't given the person any feedback, like I know for me, the tendency is I'm not going to nail him at the end of the year. I'm just not going to bring it up. And I'm never going to bring it up. It becomes one of those unspoken things. So I can't talk about it without admitting that I haven't been doing my job for the last year. And so there you go. So the guy ends up exhibiting some behavior that's probably going to prevent him from getting promoted to the next level, should he want that. And he'll never get feedback on it. He'll never know because I messed up and I feel bad about admitting the fact that I messed up.
Yeah.
So in this case, I waited a month. I didn't wait a year. I waited a month. And I called, said when we were, you know, one of our weekly meetings, said, hey, Dave, I got these voices. I chuckled about it. I didn't give him it wasn't the feedback model. There's a better way to do it. But I chuckled. I said, Dave, these voicemails are killing me. I don't have 20 minutes. I can't listen to the 20 minutes. I'm sure it's great information, but I can't listen to it. So do me a favor. Give me an executive summary. 30 seconds. No more than 30 seconds executive summary. And I promise you, I will listen to it every single time. If it's in that 30 seconds, I promise you, I will listen to it. And if I have time, wink, wink, internally, wink, wink.
Yeah,
if I have time, I'll listen to the details. So leave me as long a voicemail as you want. And if I got time, I'll listen to it. And he was like, okay. So he got his feelings hurt.
He responded well. I remember you telling me the story years ago. He responded very well.
Oh, he said, oh, absolutely. I got it. And look, to his credit, and to my utter shame that I didn't talk about it with him a month prior, I would have saved myself a lot of pain. He was perfect. 30 seconds, no more than 30, usually 20, 25 seconds every single time. And I followed through with my promise. I listened to it and it was awesome.
Yeah. And that's two people meet in the middle, right? You agree to change your behavior a little bit. He agreed to change his.
Yeah.
And we're good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. Be willing to admit that your natural tendency may not work for everybody else in the world, and be willing to change your behavior to be effective rather than to indulge your personal preference for communication style. Simple.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I hadn't thought about it at the time that really what I was sharing with him was my communication preferences, right? I can't listen to for long periods of time. I get distracted too easily. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
That's it.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great one. So long.